نعوذ بسوء الأخلاق. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من الهم والحزن، ونعوذ بك من العجز والكسل، ونعوذ بك من الجبن والبخل، ونعوذ بك من غلبة الدين وقهر الرجال. اللهم إنا نسألك خير هذا اليوم، فتحه ونصره ونوره وبركته وهداه، ونعوذ بك من شر ما فيه وشر ما بعده. رضينا بالله ربا وبالإسلام دينا وبسيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم رسولا ونبيا. اللهم بك أصبحنا وبك مسينا وبك نحيا وبك نموت، فلك الحمد ولك الشكر وإليك النشور. أصبحنا وأصبح الملك لله رب العالمين، لا شريك لك. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من زوال نعمتك وتحول عافيتك وفجاءة نقمتك وجميع سخطك يا رب العالمين. صلى الله على النبي الكريم وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Continuing with the chapter on hope, having hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ulama explained that when a man is young and he's full of energy and full of desires, then his tawajjuh, his focus must be more on the azab and the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, him having fear in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that this will help him to stay away from gunas. And as he grows older and he's getting weaker, and as a person is approaching death, now his focus must go more on the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the love, the compassion, the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it will create more excitement in this person's heart now as he's getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He feels now that there's so much in store for him. So as opposed to the kuffar, or as they get older and they get closer towards death, it seems like doom is coming, looking at them in the face, and they get more and more depressed, that they've got nothing out of life that they wish they could get. They hope that they will get so much out of life, but they didn't get, and now there's nothing else left for them. Whereas a Muslim, as he's getting closer, that excitement is building up more. Because now the real life is about to start. The real life that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised, that whatever I desire, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give it to me. Therefore, Mawlana Masihullah Sahib rahmatullahi used to say, that Allah Pak, Jannat mein khuda khuda hi dega. That in Jannat, Allah Pak will give a person the sifat and qualities of Allah Pak. In other words, Allah Pak just wants something, by His mashiyat, He just intends it. Allah Pak just desires something and it happens. So Allah will give insan that quality in Jannat, that he'll just have to desire something and he will get it. That quality that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has, Allah will give him that. Anything he wants, he'll just desire, he'll just wish it and he'll have it. So this person, as he's getting closer towards death now, that excitement is building, he's not going more and more depressed, like how the West and the Kufar, that when you're young and you got wealth and you got everything, now that excitement is there. But when they're reaching that old age and sickness, and they get issued with terminal cancer, then now that's the end, and there's a depression, and everything starts. Now they got to live on tablets, etc. But the Muslim is getting more and more happier, more and more excited. The day is coming where I'm going to be able to meet Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I'm going to get a chance to meet Sahaba. I'm going to get a chance to be in the company of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that excitement is continuously building. So anyway, the hadith we did yesterday, Nabi Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, فيما يحكي عن ربه تبارك وتعالى قال أذنب عبد ذنبا. Hazrat Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu is relating from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who in turn is relating from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning this is hadith Qudsi, the hadith directly from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We know there are two types of tilawat you get. One is tilawat of Quran, that is wahi, that is matlu, that is wahi that is recited. There's another type of wahi that we don't recite. That is the hadith that comes, hadith Qudsi. That's hadith from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but we don't make tilawat of it like Quran. So this is what he's saying, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, أَذْنَبَ عَبْدُ ذَنْبَ, that a person had committed a sin. فَقَالَ اللَّهُمَّ اغْفِرْ لِي ذَنْبِي فَقَالَ اللَّهُ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى أَذْنَبَ عَبْدِي ذَنْبَ. So this person, after committing the sin, he said, اللَّهُمَّ اغْفِرْ لِي ذَنْبِي, Allah, forgive my sin. Forgive me my sin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replied, أَذْنَبَ عَبْدِي ذَنْبًا فَعَلِمَ أَنَّ لَهُ رَبًّا يغفر الذنب ويأخذ بالذنب ثم عاد فأذنب. Then Allah Pak replies that this person, he committed a sin knowing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that punishes for sins, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also the one that forgives. In other words, this man, he had that knowledge that Allah can punish, Allah punishes, and he had that knowledge that Allah forgives, and he still committed that sin. It wasn't such that he didn't know and he committed, he knew it. But then to فَقَالَ أَيْ رَبِّ اغْفِرْ لِي ذَنْبِي. And then he said, oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, forgive me. فَقَالَ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى. Allah Pak says again, أَذْنَبَ عَبْدِي ذَنْبَ فَعَلِمَ أَنَّ لَهُ رَبًّا يَغْفِرُ الذَّنْبَ وَيَأْخُذُ بِالذَّنْبِ. And again he did. In other words, first time Allah Pak forgave him. The second time he did the same thing. Again Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave him. ثُمَّ عَادَ فَأَذْنَبَ. Then he returned and he committed guna. For the third time, فَقَالَ أَيْ رَبِّ اغْفِرْ لِي ذَنْبِي. فَقَالَ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى أَذْنَبَ عَبْدِي ذَنْبَ فَعَلِمَ أَنَّ لَهُ رَبًّا يَغْفِرُ الذَّنْبَ وَيَأْخُذُ بِالذَّنْبِ. Third time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says that this person, he committed my servant. The word Allah Pak uses is my servant Abdi. That he committed a sin, and he knew that I punish, and he also knew that I forgive, and then he still committed. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions after the third time, قَدْ غَفَرْتُ لِعَبْدِي فَلْيَفْعَلْ مَا شَاءَ. I have forgiven my son and he can do what he wants. In other words, ulama explains from this hadith, it means the person continuously sins, but the fact that he continuously makes tawbah, Allah Pak will continuously forgive him. So this creates so much of hope. It doesn't mean that a person must continuously sin, but it means that a person should never ever lose hope in the sin of in the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As the Mawlana Yunus Patel Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi would continuously give this one example. That the person that is full of dirt, his clothes are dirty, his body is dirty, his hair is dirty, he's greased up in dirt, and this person now tells the ocean, he's standing at the edge of the ocean, he tells the ocean, I don't want to come and wash myself in you because I'm scared that I'm going to make you dirty. So he addresses the ocean and he tells the ocean that I'm scared now if I'm going to wash all my dirt off in you, then you're going to get dirty. Then the ocean replies to him that forget you, 100,000 like you jumps into me and 100,000 like you cleans yourself by me, it won't have any impact on me. In other words, my water and my ability to clean is much more than what dirt you have on your body. So this is the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person should never lose hope that I got so much of sin, that how can I ever get forgiveness? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness is much, much more vast than that ocean also that can clean the person. Allah's forgiveness, one time Allah Pak forgives a person and this person is completely forgiven. He becomes the wali of his time. But the condition is a person must sincerely turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today's hadith, and Abi Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala an qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ لَوْ لَمْ تُذْنِبُوا لَذَهَبَ اللَّهُ بِكُمْ وَجَاءَ بِقَوْمٍ يُذْنِبُونَ فَيَسْتَغْفِرُونَ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى فَيَغْفِرُ لَهُمْ. As Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu says, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam takes an oath. He says, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ, by that zat, by that being in whose hands my life is, لَوْ لَمْ تُذْنِبُوا, if you people did not commit sins, لَذَهَبَ اللَّهُ بِكُمْ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would dispense with you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would do away with you, وَجَاءَ بِقَوْمٍ يُذْنِبُونَ, Allah will bring another nation. In other words, Allah Pak will destroy you, Allah Pak will finish you, Allah will bring another nation that will commit sin so that Allah Pak can forgive them. In other words, Allah Pak loves forgiveness so much that if you people were all like angels, you didn't commit sin, Allah Pak would have did away with you and brought another nation that would commit sins and then Allah Pak would forgive them. So here, ulama explain it again, it doesn't mean that the person should commit sins, but it means that a person after committing sins, he should actually focus on the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not lose hope and turn towards him. One more hadith which is very close to the meaning of the one we did last. Nabi Ayyub Khalid bin Zayd radiallahu anhu qala sami'tu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yaqul lawla annakum tuznibun la khalaqallahu khalqan yuznibuna fayastaghfiruna fayaghfiru lahum. Abu Ayyub Khalid ibn Zayd radiallahu anhu says that I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying that if you people did not commit sins, then Allah Pak will create a new creation. That other hadith said Allah will bring. So here the words change slightly. Muhaddisin were very, very careful that if the words change slightly, they will quote it as another hadith. They won't just say it as one hadith, like how we give a story from our side and we just give it as one story. If the words were different from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they will be so particular, they'll quote it as another hadith and bring it also as another hadith, so that every word of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gets preserved. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will create another creation that will commit sin, فَيَسْتَغْفِرُونَ, and they will ask Allah Pak to forgive them, so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after that will forgive them. So therefore Allah Pak creates. Actually what happened was, Sahaba radiallahu anhu, they would take the wa'id and the punishments and the warnings so seriously that some of them actually would take to mountain tops Some of them would actually stay away from women altogether, won't sleep the whole night out of fear that what will happen to me. So these type of hadith was sent, these type of hadith Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned to them, so they could have some consolation that Allah Pak is willing to forgive. Don't worry, don't have so much of fear now that you lose your sleep. You don't live a normal life, you have to take to the mountain. Unlike us, sometimes we just hear a hadith and the next thing we go out and we're ready to commit sins. We're making ghibat about somebody, we're doing somebody down in business, we're getting involved in insurance, we're getting involved in interest. So all different things, we just hear the hadith, but for them it was so serious. They heard something, immediately it would shock them, they'd lose sleep, they won't be able to go to their wives, they want to go to the mountains. So for Sahaba radiallahu anhu, these ahadith, obviously it's all for every one of us, but for them it had greater impact because of the level of fear they had about akhirat, about Jahannam, about standing and giving a reckoning in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also give us some portion of the reality of all these ahadith, like Sahaba have. As we know, tonight will be a majlis after Isha Salah. We should try and participate, and we should try and encourage also others to participate. Allah Pak give us tawfiq. Subhanallah bihamdi, subhanak Allahumma bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun ala al mursalin, walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.